You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
I know your ears are open, but you don't know if you're listening. You're hearing in the inner man. And that's what the Spirit of God is trying to do in us. Why? Because the Word of God is the power, the ingredient to transform you in every way that you need to be transformed. Your thinking needs to be changed. You need to have your mind renewed. And those of you who've already had your mind renewed, you need some fresh injection that gives you stronger convictions about it and moves you to action. You need to hear the teaching so that it continues to transform you.
God speaks to you through His Word. His Word has great power. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and makes it alive and will give you fresh understanding and ways to apply it in your life. Today, Pastor Tom will teach on the important response you should have to God's Word. You should welcome the Word God gives you. Receive it with gladness and eagerness. Don't just hear it and continue without being challenged or changed, but welcome it into your heart and let it change you and move you to action. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, How to Listen to God's Word.
Well, let's open our Bibles again to James 1. We continue to think about our response to the Word of God. I like this series because all the pressure's on you. This is not about preaching well, it's about listening well, even if we preach badly up here, you know. But I got a quote from a preaching book, Jim Shaddix. He teaches homiletics at one of the seminaries, I think in Louisiana. He's written a book, The Passion-Driven Sermon. He says, just imagine the extent of divine presence that can be known when we are completely surrendered to the supernatural sufficiency and authority of God in Scripture. He said, just imagine that. When we proclaim the Word, we bring the work of the Holy Spirit to bear on others' lives. I can't make the Holy Spirit work, but He works through His Word. My role is to be, the preacher's role is to be the mouth of the Holy Spirit by letting the Word speak, not coming up with a new message. And then the Holy Spirit works. He goes on, the work of the Holy Spirit is as inextricably linked to preaching as heat is to the light a bulb emits. When we present the light of God's Word, His Spirit performs God's purposes of warming, melting, and conforming hearts to His will. I like that he writes that it's about hearts, not just mere external behavior, right? Now, you know, if you hang around church enough, you can act in a way that makes it look like you are a really mature Christian. You can do the external things. You can even learn to speak the right words, and everybody thinks you're something. And even in my profession, you have to be very careful not to let it be professional. It has to be personal, has to be real, has to be sincere. And so that's where the hearing comes and why it's so important in your heart. Now, we're going back to James 1, verses 19 to 21. We're going to resume in the middle of that. It's instructing our hearts to respond to the Word of God. A wonderful and interesting portion of God's Word. Let's read it again, even though we're through most of it. Read all of it. James 1, 19 to 21. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. Now remember, he's talking about hearing the Word of God as the primary application here. Slow to speak and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, by the way, watch our mouths, right? All filthiness, and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. That's that last part we're going to be dealing with today. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Well, God tells us we need to respond well to the Word of God. You know, when God talks, people ought to. Yeah, you know it. There's no one more important to listen to than God. God has decided not to speak directly from heaven. He's decided to choose men to communicate His message through, to breathe into them supernaturally a message have them speak it or write it. Once it's written, the revelation is delivered. Now today, we're not receiving new messages from God. We're not receiving new revelation. We're not receiving direct communication from God, even in that sense. So the way we're going to hear God is to listen to what God has spoken. Fortunately, we have with us today the Holy Spirit who takes the word and makes it alive. That's what should be happening in all our hearts as we're listening to the word of God. The Spirit of God is our inward teacher, as the Spirit of God is our outward teacher from the scripture he wrote through men. Make sense? So we have the doctrine of inspiration, verbal, plenary, confluent inspiration that results in an authoritative, inerrant Bible that brings us to a text, and then inwardly, the light bulbs should be going on. The ears should be open. The heart should be warm. That's the inward illuminating work of the Spirit, which is not adding new messages to the Bible. It's taking the old message and giving it fresh understanding and application in your life. So all that bibliology, study of the Bible and the doctrine of the Bible, lies behind this text, okay? Now, we're going through seven correct responses to the word. The first one was be quick to listen. In particular, listen to the word of God, in particular in the church gatherings. Second, be slow to speak it. Not everyone should be ready to be a teacher and speak the word of God. They need to listen and study, get themselves ready after God has worked on them, then speak it. Third way to receive God's word, this is all review, is be slow to anger. Last part of verse 19 and into verse 20. Anger is the byproduct of quick speaking and slow listening, we saw. Anger towards others in church or towards the Bible or towards the preacher or God or whatever hurts our reception of God's word. Instead, we should be listening, making the changes God wants us to. Remember that our anger, our kind of anger, the anger we get in angry for our reasons, never advances the righteousness of God. It just doesn't help. The fourth strategy here, the fourth response, was to put aside sin. That's so needed. Verse 21. Therefore, in other words, not that way. Don't be getting angry, but because that doesn't advance the righteousness of God. Therefore, here's what you ought to do. Putting aside all filthiness and all, notice the double all there, all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, or the abundance of wickedness is the better way of translating it. Putting that aside. Clothing imagery. Take all that dirty and tattered and disgusting, filthy, soiled garments that you have on, metaphorically speaking, spiritually speaking, and get rid of it. It's not helping you any. Don't hang on to it. Don't act like it's something that you have for happiness in your life and find meaning. No, get rid of it. You'll hear the voice of God better. You can't properly receive the word. You can't benefit from the word of God merely by living the way you want to live and coming in here and hoping to learn something new and have God change you. It's not going to work that way. Sin can be loud, and it drowns out the voice of the Spirit, and it throws cold water on the fires of the Spirit. Now, today we come to number 5, 6, and 7. The fifth way to respond to God's word is to welcome the word. Welcome the word. Look in the middle of verse 21 here. I'm going to explain this. It says, putting all that filth aside, receive the word implanted. That's the part I want you to focus on. Receive the word implanted, not engrafted. The word means implanted. Now, receive is the main verb of verse 21. This is what we're supposed to do. Here's the command, receive it. What am I supposed to be doing? Here's an exhortation from God, receive the word. You had the negative already, put off this stuff, but the Bible never leaves us with a negative. The Bible doesn't just say put stuff off. The Bible's not don't. It's don't, and do. There's all this that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to always have something you put on. There's always a positive response. To just try to suppress bad things in your life, it never works. It only works for a while, and then it bobs back up again because you've never replaced it with a new love in your heart. See, your heart loves those things. That's why you're struggling with sin in that area. So if you tell yourself, after hearing a sermon, I need to really stop that. You're not going to stop it. You're only going to stop it for a while, and then that same desire in your heart kicks in, and you go right back to it. And that's why the Bible says you need new affections. You need something you love more than that. You're going to have to warm up to something else so that now you look at this new thing that you're supposed to love. We'll get to that. And you look back at the old thing, and you say, that wasn't so great. Why did I like that? Why did I think that those kinds of sins were going to delight my soul? You know, I drank and drank and drank from that well and never really satisfied me. Now I'm learning, wow, this really does satisfy my soul. It's not just something pious we're supposed to say because we go to church and we're Christians. It's true. It becomes an affection of your heart. You're like, I love this. I love the new thing. So we need something new to delight in. But notice that James drops the clothing analogy. No pun intended there. But he just drops the clothing analogy, and instead of going on and saying something like Paul might say, put this off and put on Christ, he changes it and he says, now I want you to receive the word implanted. And he brings up an agricultural illustration. And notice, the word is already implanted in us. He says, receive the word implanted. That means it's already implanted in us. Why is that? Because the eternal seed, that is the word of God, is already planted in you. Who's James writing to? Believers. So it's already implanted in believers. You already have the word of God in you, in other words. You've already received the word of God. Now I'm talking to those of you who are believers. You already have it inside of you. God already implanted. When did he implant it in you? He implanted it at the time of salvation, right? At the time of regeneration. That's what we just learned. Look back up at verse 18, right? He says, in the exercise of his will, that's God, he brought us forth by what? The word of truth, the gospel, the scripture, so that we might be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. He already implanted the word of God in you at the time you were born again, when you were regenerate, when you were given new life, the word was planted inside of you. We are not like unbelievers who hear the word and reject it, who hear the word and just try to ignore it, who hear the word and turn our backs. We're not like unbelievers. We heard the word, the gospel of Jesus, and because of the sovereign work of God, because he implanted the word in us, our ears were open, our faith emerged, and we were born again. And so we received that word. It's already in there. It's already implanted if we're a believer. But then he still says you have to receive it. We have to receive it. Receive the word. Word, the word is that same word for Christ when it says the word became flesh and lived among us. It's the Greek term logos. We get our word logic from it. It actually is not just saying a word, any word, some silly word that someone might say. When we talk about the word of God, we're talking about the reasonable message of God. We're talking about the spiritual logic of God that is lodged inside of his word. His word has persuasion from heaven. His word has understanding that comes to our minds. And when we receive the word, we're receiving all the meaning of the word. You get it? It means something. And that something that it means has resonated in our conscience, in our thinking. And all of a sudden, we're like, no, I believe that. I embrace that. That's mine. And so we receive the word. But he still says that it should be received. And that might seem a little strange. It's already implanted in us. By the way, that term implanted, it is a hapax legomenon. It's a fancy word that just means this is the only time in all of the Bible that it happens. It's a one-time word here. And that's kind of interesting, but as they do research on the word, what it means is to put a seed in the ground. It's basically what it means. It's implanted. And so the seed is the word of God. The ground is your heart, and it's already put in there, right? And there's another little truth before I get into this other part. There's another little truth I think that's important here, and that is that the seed, the word, is not naturally in our hearts. We're not born in this world with the seed in our heart. We have to be The seed has to be sown. The seed has to be given, right? We have to give the seed. And someone did that for us. Someone spread the seed for us. And it lodged in good soil, and it was received, and it was believed because you're a believer. We have to do the same thing for others. It's not naturally in their heart. Sometimes the philosophers or those from Eastern religions or false religions of some kind, they think that the light of truth is already somehow implanted inside of human beings. That all we really need to do to help human beings is tell them something like, follow your own heart. Why? Because the truth and the light is already on the inside. No, 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 it's not. The Bible says there's sin inside, that no one knows the heart, that the heart is dark. The human heart is not good. It's fallen. It's evil. It has its own motives. It's proud. It doesn't see God right. It doesn't worship properly. And so because of that, the seed's not naturally in the heart. It has to be implanted then. And it was implanted in your heart. And we can be used by God to help as the Holy Spirit uses to implant in others. All right, now let me get to that question. Why is it, if it's already implanted, does James have to give us this exhortation that says, receive it? It's already in me. I already received it. Yes, you already received it in one sense. In fact, this word receive, dekomai, it's a verb, it is used of the Bereans. All you in the Berean community can like this. Acts 17:11, it says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They received the word with great eagerness. Now, this term can be just used in a normal sense of receiving something, but often it has, takes on a little bit of an extra meaning in that they welcomed the word. They welcomed the word. They received it with gladness, with eagerness, with open arms, that kind of a meaning. In fact, the same word is used of Rahab, the harlot, in Hebrews 11:31. It says, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. This is talking about the city of Jericho, right? After she had welcomed the spies in peace. That word welcomed is the same word here, received. In Colossians 4:10, it talks about Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, Paul writes, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. That's the same word, welcome him. That's the idea that it's taking on here. You already have the word implanted in you. Now, as a believer, as someone who has the word implanted in you, welcome the word in your life. Welcome it. What does that mean? Be warm towards it. Be enthusiastic towards it. Embrace it. What happens when someone walks in the front door that you really want to see? What do? Oh, you're here. As people that you don't want to see, you're like, what are you doing here? Towards the word, what are you? Are you just sort of a bystander, like, what are you doing here? Or does the word of God come to you and you're like, oh, you're my friend, I embrace you. That's the idea for the believer. When you are reading the word of God in your devotions, when you're hearing the word of God, there should be that openness, that friendliness towards the word. You know, it's I think sometimes our response to the word is just we hear it, you know, preached, or it's something like, you know, bravo, jolly good sermon, pastor. A pastor, a preacher, would much rather hear the word is working in my mind and heart. It's changing me, you see. Then you're like, ah, someone's listening out there. That's good. I know you're all looking at me. I know your ears are open, but you don't know if you're listening. You're hearing in the inner man. And that's what the Spirit of God is trying to do in us. Why? Because the Word of God is the power, the ingredient to transform you in every way that you need to be transformed. Your thinking needs to be changed. You need to have your mind renewed. And those of you who've already had your mind renewed, you need some fresh injection that gives you stronger convictions about it and moves you to action. You need to hear the teaching so that it continues to transform you. What does the word do for you elsewhere? It leads you. You're going to face decisions this week. I don't know what they are. I'm going to face decisions this month and next month. You need to have the word constantly in your mind so you know how to make a good decision about it, right? It directs you. It controls you. Say, the word of God controls you. I don't want to give control of my life over to anyone. Well, you're never going to be a good Christian without that. All you control freaks out there, listen up. A, you're not in control of anything. You are not in control of anything. But God, through his word, wants to be more in control of your thinking through his word. What else does the word do? It corrects you. You say, I don't need any correction. It's that other guy over there needs correction. No, he needs the correction in the area that you can tell he needs the correction in. What you don't know is he's sitting over there thinking the same thing about you. You need correction. Dear Lord, help that person. Because we can always see well what the other person needs correction in, but not who? Ourselves. It's no biggie. I don't need any change. No biggie. That's a biggie. No, it's not a biggie. It's a small thing. But the Spirit of God using his words trying to correct you, sanctify you, empower you. You say, I get kind of cowardly when I have to open my mouth. Because you're not in the word. You're not letting it control you. You say, I feel weak and beaten down by life. Well, we all get tired. But those who wait on the Lord renew their strength, right? It feeds you. Some of you are, you know, not nourished as well as you ought to be, so the word is there for you. I like Dr. Lee's comment here in the Holman commentary. He says, we must not quarrel or quibble with God as we receive his message, tying it back to don't get angry. Dr. J. Adams, the father of the modern biblical counseling movement, says, rather than angry, become docile, subtle, easily bent, and directed by the word. Someone, see, who's receiving and welcoming the word is they're already formulating in their mind, this is how I need to change. This is what I need to do. Here's how I need to respond. Let me write that down. I don't want to forget that, you see? Others are just like, 37 more minutes. I just got to endure this. No pliability. No molding from God. It's not about enduring us. It's about God changing you. Another way of putting it is, when you welcome the word, let the word into all the rooms in your house. You know how it is, you have guests over, you're like, please just stay downstairs, don't go upstairs. Use this bathroom, not this bathroom. The word of God wants to be the kind of guest, doesn't want to be a guest at all, actually, that gets to visit every room and help redecorate every room. How about that for intrusiveness? The word of God wants to move into every room. So you bring him into the kitchen, like, I'm comfortable. He can hang out in the kitchen. Well, he's got to get upstairs to the bedroom, too. You got to let him into the laundry room. The dirty laundry. You got to let him into the laundry room. And the attic. What do you got stuffed away in the attic? That the word needs to transform. The dark basement. What do you got down there? Turn the light on down there, right? Oh, look what we have down here. Every room of your life. Does that make sense? Every room of your life. Let it change you. The word of God should have welcome entrance in every part of your life. In other words, be radical about the reception of the word of God. Don't hold back. It's you holding it back. It wants to flow. Shake yourself out of slumber, some of you. Some of you have bad habits of just sitting and listening. Sitting and listening. But not changing. Not absorbing. You know, you got to be like a sponge, not like a rock. And by the way, those old yarns that were passed down from Grandma and Aunt Louise, you know what I'm talking about? Whenever they contradict the Word of God, you got to let go of those too. Bless Grandma, she did the best job that she could. But you let go of whatever you've been taught in your family, in your background that doesn't square with the Word of God. You got to change. You got to be molded. You got to be shaped, yes? And forget all the polls out there. 58% of Americans believe. Whenever I hear that, I'm like, they're all wrong anyways. Would we care if 98% believed? We don't care. Because they don't know the word. They're not in the word. You're in the word. Your opinion should be different than the majority in most of the cases. Well, who's right, the left or the right? How about they're both wrong? They don't get a God-filled life at all. R. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, asks, is the Bible relevant? Do you thrill to read it? Is it sweet to your soul? Do you find it always unfolding more riches? Or it's kind of like, you know, it's the same stuff, you know, same stuff. You're not thinking about it. You're not really engaging your spirit. Go back to our scripture reading, Psalm 19:8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Is your heart rejoiced? Sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. You like honeycomb? You like honey? So nice, huh? Put a little in the tea, put a little on some bread and butter. That's how scripture should be to you, to your soul. You love it. You can't wait to be in it. It changes you. The welcoming of the word should lead to obedience. Look at verse 22 real quickly. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves.
Thanks for joining Pastor Tom today on Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more from this study, you can find additional teachings online now at hopebible.org. We know that this time in our world is uncertain, but one truth remains steadfast. God is in control. During the season, we encourage you to spend time in the Word, in prayer, and in the presence of your Creator. As with many churches across our nation, Pastor Tom and the Hope Bible Church community are holding church online. We'd love for you to join us. Visit hopebible.org to connect to our Sunday worship service at 11 a.m. We look forward to worshiping with you in this way until we can be gathered together as the body once again. We also know how essential prayer is during this time, and we want you to know we're constantly lifting our listeners up to the Lord. Is there anything specific we can be praying about for you? Please let us know by sending an email to hbc@hopebible.org. That's hbc@hopebible.org. Please pray for us too, as well as the leaders of our nation, and especially for those affected by this virus. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry. We'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing this gospel message. Would you prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner? All gifts are appreciated and used for this ministry. Please visit hopebible.org/radio to find out more and donate securely online. Thank you for supporting Discover Hope in this way. That's all for today. Join Pastor Tom again for another edition of Discover Hope.